Hello, I'm R.A. Spratt. I write and perform this podcast. If you'd like to support the show, I'm a children's author, so you can buy a book by me, or you can buy me a coffee by going to buymeacoffee.com/storiesrasspratt. It's an easy way to make a small thank you gift to the show so I can keep kicking this can down the road. The podcast directory you're using right now should have a link to my Buy Me a Coffee page in the show notes, or you can type it into your browser. That's buymeacoffee.com/storiesrasspratt. All contributions are gratefully appreciated. Hello and welcome to Bedtime Stories with me, R.A. Spratt. Okay, so for today's story, I'm going to be reading to you a story from Friday Barnes' Collision Course, which is my most recent book. It only came out a couple of months ago, and I feel like I've read it to you because I did record an audiobook, but I just realized I'd only read you the first couple of chapters, so I thought I should read you one of the mini mysteries, because all the Friday Barnes books have lots of little stories that are complete stories within themselves within the book. So I'm going to read you one of those today. And if you enjoy it, you can go out and buy the rest of the book and read it for yourself. Oh, which I should say, for people listening in America, I've been getting lots of emails saying, I can't get hold of Friday Barnes 12 Collision Course. Yeah, there were some issues. They delayed distribution there because they were trying to get a publishing deal up. It didn't happen. So it will be distributed this month in the US. It should be distributed this month in the US, because publishers tell me these things, but they're never 100% sure. But they tell me it should be published in the US, or distributed rather, in the US sometime this month, which is May 2024. Okay, well, now we've said all of that, let's just get into the story. So what do you need to know? So we're picking up the story with Friday and Melanie. They're trying to escape Paris so they can get to Switzerland, because someone in Friday's family is in trouble there. But Friday is in trouble in Paris, so it's all a little bit difficult. So they're having to sneak onto the train. So that's where we're going to pick it up. Here we go. There were even more police in the station, but still no one stopped them. There was so much bustling activity. There were crowds of travellers hurrying to and from their trains, heading to destinations all around Europe. Friday and Melanie got to their train without any trouble. Before she climbed aboard, Friday turned back to get a glimpse of Ian. She thought she saw a flash of high-vis five cars down. "Ian isn't in our carriage?" asked Friday. "No, he's in economy," said Melanie. "It's part of his disguise." Friday looked about and realised she was sitting in a very fancy carriage. "You booked us in first-class seats?" said Friday. "Well, I always travel first class," said Melanie. "It's important to support local public transport services." "We're supposed to be trying to blend in," said Friday. "Well, I blend in better in first class," said Melanie. "I wouldn't know how to blend in economy." When the train finally pulled out of the station, Friday felt a wave of relief. She'd made it out of Paris. The police would still be searching the streets around the Louvre for her. Hopefully she could get across the border into Switzerland before they widened their search. Melanie was sitting opposite her, talking to the waiter in perfect French, ordering lunch for them both. It would be nice to eat a meal that hadn't come out of a vending machine. After lunch, Melanie, predictably, went to sleep. Friday sat down and looked out the window. It was rare for her to catch a form of transport without having a book to read, but Melanie hadn't let her go to the bookstore at the station. Even when Friday was in prison and she'd had so many long hours to fill, she'd always had a stack of books to read. They weren't necessarily the books she would have chosen, but they were something. Each one a world she could escape into when the real world was inescapable. Now she had to spend 5 hours with her own thoughts. There were a lot of thoughts spiralling in her head. How were they going to get across the Swiss border? What exactly had her mother been arrested for? Were there any pretty girls in the carriage with Ian? But one persistent thought kept swimming to the surface of this babbling brook and drowning out all the others. It was her inner monologue yelling hysterically, "You are going to die!" Which was irrational because she was sitting on a train, which was not a life-threatening scenario. It also yelled, "They are going to lock you up forever!" Admittedly, that was a lot more likely. Friday tried reasoning with her inner voice. Yes, she might get locked up, but she'd been locked up before and she'd made it through. Then her inner voice would shout down these rational thoughts by yelling, "Shut up! You're going to die!" And so the vicious circle continued. It was deeply unpleasant. Friday glanced about the carriage, looking for something she could do to distract her. She was surrounded mainly by business people. At least, Friday assumed they were business people, because they were wearing suits and a lot of them were typing on laptops. Maybe they were just people who enjoyed dressing smartly and they were all playing computer games or watching movies. There was also an elderly couple sitting across the aisle. The elderly couple were very smartly dressed in an old-fashioned conservative sort of way. They seemed to be arguing about something. Their postures were stiff and they'd angled away from each other, not making eye contact. All classic body language for people pretending not to be having a fight because they didn't want to create a scene in public. Friday wondered if it was a problem she could solve. Obviously, she shouldn't try to help. Whatever the problem was, it wasn't any of her business. Also, she was on the run from the police. She shouldn't be striking up conversations with strangers. But her inner voice was still yelling, "You're going to die!" So she decided it was better to risk imprisonment than sit there listening to that for 5 hours. Friday was sitting in the window seat, so she scooted across to the aisle seat and leaned across. "Excuse me," she said, "I noticed you both seem a little upset. Is there anything I can do to help?" Now that she was closer, Friday could see that the man looked flustered and intensely embarrassed. The woman looked calm, but as soon as she spoke, Friday realized the woman was actually really angry, and she'd suppressed her feelings into a tight knot of rage inside herself. "I don't know," she said. "Are you a forger? Can you forge a passport?" Friday was taken aback to be asked if she could perform a crime. She had fled from the French police, so she was already committing one. She wondered if the woman could sense her criminality, but then Friday realized that this was unlikely unless this old lady had superhuman levels of insight. "No," said Friday. "Well, I'm sure I could if I had the right computer, the right printer, and access to hologram technology. Although the easiest way to forge a passport would be to get a passport from someone who looks like you, then just adjust the printing on the name. That would be a lot easier than trying to create an entire passport from scratch. And it would certainly do the trick within Europe, where internal borders don't require passports." The old lady stared at Friday, but Friday was too consumed by the interesting intellectual conundrum to notice. "But even if you did have a passport for a lady who looks like yourself," continued Friday, "I'd need the right ink in the right printer to adjust the name. I'd probably need some sort of paper fabrication process too. The research alone on how to do it would take hours or days. The equipment would be hard to locate anywhere other than a major city. They certainly wouldn't have it on a moving train." "That's a no then, I take it," said the lady. "Yes, it's a no," agreed Friday. "Also, I probably shouldn't be aiding and abetting you if you need a fake passport to commit a crime." "Oh, I don't want a fake passport," said the lady. "I just want my own passport. But my husband forgot to bring them."
"I said sorry," said the man.
"Humph," said the lady. "But you don't need a passport to travel internally within Europe," said Friday. "You do if you need to hire a car," said the lady.
"We'll just go home," said the man. "We can rebook in a couple of weeks." "He's lying," Melanie muttered.
Friday looked at her friend. Melanie was sound asleep, but Melanie did have a strange ability to tell if someone was lying. Could she even tell when she was asleep? And could she announce this by sleep talking? Apparently she could. Friday turned back and looked at the man closely. He was wearing a blue tweed jacket, a warm flannel shirt, and a tie. His clothes were very respectable. He also looked very nervous, terrified even.
"Sir, are you afraid of your wife?" asked Friday.
"No," exclaimed the man.
"Lying," muttered Melanie.
"Well, maybe a little bit," admitted the man, "but no more than any other husband."
"Where are you going today?" asked Friday.
"Geneva," said the woman. "We were going to have a week at a lake house. My sister is flying in from Italy. We're going to have dinner with her tonight."
Friday looked at the man. He was quivering.
"You don't seem very happy about this trip," said Friday.
"Oh, no," said the lady. "We love Switzerland. We go every year."
"And your sister comes every year?" asked Friday.
"No," said the lady. "I haven't seen her for 5 years. Her husband and my husband had a big argument, but her husband died 2 months ago. She just messaged me and asked to meet with us."
The old man took out a handkerchief and dabbed sweat from his forehead.
"I see," said Friday.
She looked from the man to the woman and back again.
"Well, I know where your passports are, but the question is, do you want to know what I know?"
The old lady glared at Friday with raised eyebrows. "Apart from being upset about your passports and missing a week at a lake house in Geneva, you seem like a happy couple," continued Friday. "Your husband wouldn't be so worried about upsetting you otherwise. So I could return your passports to you and you could continue on your journey without asking any follow-up questions. Or I could pretend I don't know where your passports are and you could get off at the next station and go back to Paris. Or there is a third, more confronting possibility. We could shine the cleansing light of truth on this whole situation. You get your passports back and you go forward with nothing to hide."
"I'd like to go home," said the man.
I want the truth, said the lady. You say that, said Friday, but people rarely want the truth. We tell ourselves lies all the time. More importantly, we let other people tell us lies all the time. And everyone goes along with this for the sake of harmony. It's easier for everyone. So if you are honestly happy with your life, it would probably be best if you don't know the whole truth. I want the truth, said the lady. I'm not that happy. Do you want to tell her, or shall I? Friday asked the old man. He slumped with his face in his hands.
All right, all right. I had an affair with your sister.
Friday, what have you done? Asked Melanie, suddenly sitting up. I don't know, said Friday. She was genuinely shocked. I was just trying to help this nice old couple find their passports.
It's okay. I can't bear living with the lies anymore, said the old man. That's why Paul and I had the fight. It's why I've been avoiding your sister for 5 years. I blocked her emails, hung up on her calls. I didn't want her to tell you.
That's not what I was going to reveal, said Friday. I was just going to tell her that you hid the passports in your coffee cup and put them in the bin. I saw you do it when your wife went to the bathroom.
Oh, yes, I did that too, confessed the man.
Claude, said the woman. How could you?
I'm so sorry, Letitia, said the man.
They were 10-year passports, said the lady. I only just had them renewed. They cost 300 euros each, plus all the hassle of filling out the forms and getting the photos taken.
I thought you'd be heartbroken about Philippa, said the old man.
You silly old man, said the lady. I've always known about that. I had an affair with Paul and he told me.
You did, said the man.
Just get the passports out of the bin, said the lady. Wipe them off, give them to me to mind, and we'll forget about all this silliness.
All of it? Asked the man.
Not all of it, said the lady. I'm not going to forget that you're deeply silly, but I'm prepared to forget about this specific silliness.
The silliness with your sister? Said the man.
I'm not going to cut off my relationship with my sister just because you're both idiots, said the lady, and I'm not filling out those ridiculous, rude passport applications again. Now get the passports out of the bin.
You forgive me? Asked the man.
Of course not, said the lady. But if you buy me a very expensive watch when we get to Switzerland, I will pretend I do.
Thank you, dear, said the old man,
before shuffling over to the rubbish bin. Friday slid back to her window seat. Now her inner voice was yelling at her,
You're an idiot!
And on the whole, she agreed with it. Okay, well, that's it for now. I hope you enjoyed that chapter. And if you do want to read the whole book and find out what was going on with Friday's mum in Switzerland, then yes, you can buy it. It's Friday Barnes Collision Course, which is the 12th book in the series. Okay, that's it for now. Until next time, goodbye.